All right. Before we get into the intro and all the other, you know, shenanigans, before we start every episode, let me first tell you, I have a free giveaway for you. And I'm only giving it away this week. There is less than 7 days between now and Easter. So if you're listening to this, you know, a week after it's been aired, I'm sorry, this giveaway is not for you. But for those of you who are listening to it right now, today is the 26th of March. I'm going to be giving away a free game. You know, Easter is a very special day. It's April Fool's Day. So I made a This Is Why I'm Broke prank edition. And if you've ever played This Is Why I'm Broke, you know that it's a game that's kind of like The Price is Right. The idea behind it is your students have to guess the price of the item we threw up. So all these items are prank items I found on Amazon. They're hilarious. So I made a prank edition. It's not on DYM yet. In fact, this is a DYM Create exclusive. No one else will have this game. So if you want to play it Wednesday, here's what you got to do in order to play this game. Go on iTunes, leave me a review, screenshot that review, and then you can message me on Instagram or on the DYM Create Podcast Network through the leave a comment section. That way I know that you left the review and I can email you the code, okay? So I will email you the link to the This Is Why I'm Broke Pranks Edition. So that's my giveaway, all the way till this Friday. So after Friday, no more giveaway, okay? So leave a review. If you've already left one, screenshot it anyways and send it over and I'll get you that game for free. This is a DYM Create exclusive, and if you want it, all you gotta do is leave a review. So that's it. And then Friday, I'm also gonna be giving a Starbucks gift card away for $10. We're gonna do a drawing through PickMe, and whoever it picks is gonna get a $10 Starbucks gift card. That way you can buy yourself some coffee right before Easter service. Yeah, that's all I got, guys. All right, time for the episode. You're listening to DYM Create, a podcast about creativity, technology, media, and everything in between. And I'm your host, Sam Pedersen. Folks, if you're listening to this, it's because we are part of the DYM Podcast Network. And there are a ton of shows that will give you some youth ministry wisdom. If you're hearing some car noises, that's because I'm recording this intro in my car. Because, well, I've had a crazy week of moving from an apartment to a house that we bought. So, that's why you're hearing car noises. But folks, go ahead and check out all the DYM podcast shows. We've got some great ones on there. Also, if you're listening to this, it's because we are sponsored by Give Central. Give Central is an online giving platform for the nonprofit community. So check out Give Central. You can go to givecentral.org. And also, this podcast episode is also sponsored by the Student Leadership Conference. The Student Leadership Conference is happening July 9th in Granger, Indiana. And right now, you have until Easter, really, to get the early bird rate if you want to sign you and your students up for the Student Leadership Conference. The Student Leadership Conference is a conference for students that you see leadership qualities in. So if you have a leadership team that are students or a student youth committee, whatever it is, take them to the Student Leadership Conference because that's going to speak volumes into their lives and also take some youth workers with you. I think the early bird price is $149. Easter, it's going to go up by $10, so it's going to go to $159. Youth workers, it only costs $99 to go to it. But folks, you want to go to this. So if you want more info about the Student Leadership Conference, check out studentleadershipconference.com, okay? And lastly, our final sponsor. We are sponsored by XB3 Students Curriculum. They have a strategy for both middle school and high school, meaning they have a curriculum that is specifically designed for their phase development. So a middle school boy that's in sixth grade is drastically different from a senior girl. And so they've developed a curriculum and a strategy that will help you maximize and create value in your student ministry. Which, today, is actually, not only are we sponsored by XB3 Students, but the guest that we have on today's show, this episode, we are going to have the Director of Middle School Curriculum Strategy from XP3. We have Ashley Bohens coming on the phone here in a second, and she's going to be dropping some wisdom. And we're going to be talking about why it matters to have a middle school strategy. So Ashley Bohens, she's going to be talking through, you know, the developmental process of a 6th through 8th grader, you know, what they're going through brain-wise, and why it matters to have that type of strategy in place. And here's what I love about Ashley Bohens. Like, she is so passionate. She is hilarious and energetic. And she is probably one of the greatest champions of youth workers. Like, she is the first to jump in and tell someone, you're doing such a great job. So Ashley Bohens, she is the director of middle school strategies over at XP3 Students. Ashley's been a teacher. She's been a coach. She's been in almost every area that students will find themselves eventually. So, folks, let's welcome the DYM create, Ashley Bohens. Ashley, welcome.
Hey, everyone.
Awesome. Hey, Ashley, let us know, where are you at, who do you work for, and where is who do you work for located?
Yes, I work for a company called the Rethink Group, also known as Orange, which is a strategy for churches, and I specifically work on the curriculum team. I'm the director of middle school strategies, which means all things middle school, resources for parents, church leaders, small group leaders, schools, anything that has to do with middle school, whether that's resources or events, I'm part of it, which is really fun. So, and we're down here in Atlanta, Georgia, you know,
just
traffic
hanging
world,
out in the warm.
Traffic capital. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, well, these winters are way more mild. Well, I'll say that.
Well, I thought that I would finally get kind of a springish, you know, week, because spring break for us is all on this week, and it snowed last night, and it's supposed to snow tomorrow, and I'm like, where even am I? Because I moved here from Florida, and so I feel like a fish out of water because it keeps snowing, and I want it to stop.
I did the opposite, Sam. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, so it was snow, 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 and then I came to the South, so we kind of flip-flopped. I have to ask you, have you developed the ability to smell snow, Sam?
Oh, yeah. It does have it has a smell,
yep.
And I've developed the keen sense of turning sunlight into warmth. So
well
it'll
done.
Be 35 to 40 degrees. I will walk outside in a short-sleeved shirt and feel great. And it feels sickening to admit that, because I'm like, this should not be a normal thing. Like, I went grocery shopping, and I was like, wow, I feel really good. And I look at the temperature, and I'm like, 35, okay. So it almost feels wrong.
Right?
But it's a super ability that every Midwestern apparently has.
Yes, so it's true.
But, hey, so today we are talking about middle school curriculum.
Yeah.
You already mentioned that you are the head of all that at the Rethink Group.
Mm-hmm.
What got you into middle school ministry?
That's a great question. So ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a teacher. And so I actually, my undergrad and master's degree are both in education. And I started in the public schools as a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade health teacher, which was super fun, all the fun stuff. And so for 6 years, I did that and had thousands and thousands of conversations with middle school students that were unfiltered, because when you're in a public school setting, they don't have to act a certain way when it comes to their faith. So I think that's really where the launching pad was. And the reason I picked that subject and that age was I felt like I could have the biggest impact on that age while talking about a subject that they could apply to their life now and in the future. And so while I was teaching, I was also serving as a volunteer in my church's middle school ministry. And I, you know the full-time volunteers, you know, Sam.
Yeah, all that.
You know, like, you're writing talks, you're recruiting leaders, you're leading small groups, you're teaching, you know, doing camps, all of that. And it was so fun for me. And then when the middle school pastor moved up to be the high school pastor, they came to me and asked me to jump into the middle school role. And I was like, okay. Well, actually, it wasn't that easy. It took a year for them to convince me because I loved my teaching job so much. But became a middle school pastor for several years, and then moved into this role where I am, you know, working on curriculum and resourcing church leaders and just helping people understand middle school students, because I think they're the coolest kids in the world.
That is so true. Yeah, they are. To me, I feel like They are awkward, but in the best way possible. Like, I love middle school awkwardness.
They are free entertainment.
Yes.
And they don't even know it.
Oh, yeah. Well, so we're talking about middle school curriculum today. Today we're going to be talking about the why behind it, because let's face it, I think every person at some point has wondered, why should I even get a middle school strategy just for my middle school students? Can't I just combine my students? I'll just talk in the middle. I will just try to reach a ninth grade level and hopefully somehow hit seniors in sixth grade at the same time. Or they've thought, you know, I will just fine-tune my high school curriculum and pass it off to the middle school pastor and,
right.
and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about that. And really, I think today we want to talk about really the dangers of that
mm-hmm.
and the benefits of having a middle school strategy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Ashley, can you go ahead and speak into that of, you know, why should a middle school pastor or high school pastor or youth pastor who is in charge of 6th through 12th grade, what should we be doing to, or what's the why behind having a middle school strategy for middle school?
Mm-hmm. Love that. Man, I'm excited to talk about this. The first thing I want to, I guess where I want to start is, a lot of times what I've learned is when people hear curriculum, they only hear like main teaching script. Like that's what it equates to in their mind, which I understand. And people usually I'll say like, oh, have you ever tried our curriculum? And they're like, no, we write our own stuff. And I'm like, oh, cool. That's awesome. Like youth pastors are the most creative people on the planet. So I think that's,
right.
You should write your own talks if you have time to write your own talks, even when you have a curriculum. And they're kind of looking at me like, wait, what? And I'm like, man, we have like every series we produce has about 75 pieces of unique content, from emails to devotionals to small group questions to, you know, hands-on activities and ways for you to communicate what this week is about to your worship leader, small group leader, and your communicator. And so I start just going through like all of the pieces of curriculum. And the reason I'm talking about mm-hmm. this is because they all are infiltrated with middle school phase specific information. And so I always start my conversations there is curriculum is more than a teaching script. And if you love to write your own teaching scripts, you should. Mm-hmm. we never want people to just read our scripts. That's not the goal. And then also, when people think curriculum, they think a lot of times, oh, it's maybe one person writing my stuff. And I guess what I want to say for Orange's, our process. There we go. Our process. We have like 40 different people who touch every series. So it's not ever one person making like one person's ideas on a piece of paper. It's tons of us sitting around a table like for hours imagining conversations and these are people who are all middle school, you know, they've had a lot of experience with middle school or they've studied middle school. And you know, in 2014, for any listeners who aren't familiar with something called the Phase Research Project, in 2014 we launched this research project to dive deeper into how like the adolescent brain works and how we as youth workers can help the kids understand God's truth. And Orange actually partnered with over like a dozen licensed professional counselors, 250 state teachers of the year, hundreds of age groups ministry staff. And we didn't just read books on adolescent development, but we also collaborated with the nation's leading authors and experts to create resources for ministry leaders to take back to our churches so we could really understand the difference between middle school and high school students. And I don't think I have to convince anybody that there's a difference between middle and high school students. I think we all know that. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You think of a sixth grade boy versus a 12th grade girl. Oh, my goodness. Like, even like a sixth grade boy and a sixth grade girl is a big difference.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So I know that the reality is a tension of sometimes people have a combined environment because that's their only option. You know, there's not enough mm-hmm. to split, or there's not enough room to split. There's not enough manpower to split. And in those situations, when a middle school and high school group is combined, we do recommend people use a high school curriculum because people won't necessarily complain if things feel too old. They'll complain if they feel too young. But I obviously am a big proponent, and Orange is a big proponent of an Orange or a middle school curriculum because of the research that we found. I mean, if you think of a school system, school systems divided by grades for a reason, right? And each grade mm-hmm. learns something that builds to the next grade. You're gonna whatever you learn in that grade, you're gonna use at the next level class at school. And if you think about spiritual development, there is a foundation that needs to be built on. And so when you think about the middle school phase and you start learning about what's happening in the brain of a middle schooler, you're like, oh my goodness, I don't want to miss the opportunity to influence them in that age group, specifically where they are. Because I think what a lot of churches do is they think, well, we'll just put these middle schoolers on the shelf and we'll wait until they're high schoolers, and then that's when we'll reach them.
Oh, wow, yeah. And yeah, I feel that pressure too. So coming on staff here at Springbrook, they asked me, what's your plan for developing healthy high schoolers? Because right now, you know, we've had 3 youth pastors leave in the past 4 years. And so they're like, man, our high schoolers are just not trusting. It's a damaged program. And they said, what's your strategy for developing healthy high schoolers? And I said, well, my strategy for developing healthy high schoolers is by making our middle school ministry healthy.
Well done.
Because my middle school ministry will become a high school ministry at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go back to the source. So everyone just completely forgot about middle school altogether.
Right.
So we had, I think, 17 high schoolers in our high school program and 6 middle schoolers. It's like, all right, there's a disconnect somewhere. And I feel like, you know, if we're not, you know, taking care of these middle schoolers, we're going to have very bitter high schoolers in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be playing a lot of catch up if we don't. Mm-hmm. Develop a strategy for these guys. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's so wise. And I think, you know, middle school students and high school students are asking different questions, which mm-hmm. is why it's so important to understand the adolescent development angle of working with each
right.
age group. Like, middle school students are asking, who am I? Who do I like? Who likes me? Who do I want to be? You know, it's all mm-hmm. about, like, the discovery of how God made them. And high school students, on the other hand, are asking questions like, where do I belong? Why should I believe? How can I matter? What will I do? They're wondering, like, why does this matter in my life? And basically, what am I going to do with it? Like, what's the purpose of it? And so our focus for them is really mobilization. Like, so if our focus for middle school is affirming them in their personal journey of discovery of who they are, who God's made them to be, and our focus for high school, according to research, should be mobilization and helping students understand why they believe. And you know, like, we also really learned that middle school students really think like an engineer, where high school students think more like a philosopher. And when I say an engineer, basically what I mean is, are in the middle school phase, we have the opportunity to help them connect the dots. Everything that they've learned so far about, you know, about God and about a relationship with him and all things spiritual, like, in the middle school phase is when they start to connect, like, how those all work together. And it's actually, it really helps, like, that phase is when they can connect the overarching narrative of Scripture, really.
Yeah.
Is that. And then, you know, high schoolers, on the other hand, they don't want to just know how faith works and how it connects. They want to know why. Like, why does that matter? And so I think that is why middle school curriculum is so significant, and high school as well, because everything you write, when you're thinking, okay, I need to help them connect the dots versus I need to help them understand why, and you have that mindset in everything you create, you start to lean in different angles, right?
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of having a middle school curriculum is you're meeting them right where they are, with the answers to the questions they're asking. And the same thing goes for high school. And I think when you don't pay attention to that and you kind of just skip over it, you miss an opportunity to influence them when they're really the most influential stage because of all the change that's happening.
Yeah. And we've talked about this some already before this interview started, but we talked about how, you know, some people, they decide, I'm just going to shoot for the middle on mm-hmm. curriculum. I'm going to shoot for a 9th grade level. That's the average.
Right.
I've got 6th or 12th grade. And if you have the capacity to split, you should split, because the risk is, if you're shooting for a 9th grade level, you're going to leave your 6th through 8th grade behind if they can't grasp what you're trying to answer why to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to leave your 12th graders frustrated
because they want to go. Or they're going to leave.
Yeah, or they're going to leave.
Yeah.
So, And so I think that's the risk of that. And I like what you said. It's all about meeting them where they are, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's the Great Commission. It's, we're trying to meet people where they are. It's a relational mission. Mm-hmm. And if we really want healthy 6th through 8th graders, we have to be willing to understand that they're in a different phase developmentally, yeah. and we need to meet them in that phase.
You know, we just were wrestling with this as a team because we were writing a series on the topic of authority. And middle school and high school were talking about it, and it's like, man, like relationship to authority in middle school versus relationship to authority in high school is so, so different. Like what you can empower a middle schooler to do or how they respond to authority is like they don't have as much freedom as a high schooler does, you know? And they aren't even aware enough of who they are to interact with authority sometimes. And so you know, watching the series develop separately based on that was really, I think, eye-opening. I think that's a really good topic to look at both series and see, wow, these really are different for the age group. And I think also people, when they shoot for the 9th grade, which makes sense, like you're going to shoot for the middle and hope that both sides, you know, can follow along. The thing is it's not about reading comprehension level. It's about listening comprehension level. And because middle school students are so concrete, their listening comprehension is way lower than their reading comprehension. So what I mean by that is like if you're singing a worship song or you're giving a talk and you use a word or a phrase, an idiomatic phrase that they may not understand the meaning of, they're not even gonna hear anything else you say. Like where a high school student will be able to follow along because they know what that means, they know what that word means. A middle school student's like, wait, what are they talking about? You know,
right.
Like, especially with abstract concepts, especially, you know, worship songs and anything spiritual really is abstract. And let me use a lyric, for example, from a worship song, like a tidal wave crashing over me. You know, a high school student is like, yeah, I get that means like God's presence is all like all consuming. Where a high school student or a middle school student's like thinking about the ocean and like all of a sudden
like that's terrifying.
Yeah, and then they're like, I love surfing, and it's like all of a sudden, you know, they're so concrete in their thinking. And so the way that it's not about watering down a message for middle school students.
Right.
It's about breaking down a message for middle school students.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest complaints I hear about people when they see a middle school strategy is they're like, well, this is so watered down. This is so you're only using 2 scriptures. We use 5 in our context. And like I've heard someone actually brag about that we used 5 scriptures in our middle school message. I'm like, that's great. I wanted my kids to walk away with understanding this one scripture, though.
Right.
They needed to walk away with that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, definitely. And I know that, you know, there's a different expectation for every denomination and for every church, and that's fine. I mean, we write for over 70 different denominations, so we have to write in the middle. And our hope always, I mean, we always provide Word documents so that they can be edited, and denominations can edit whatever works best for their age group. We want people to do that. And, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, it's not about watering it down. It's about breaking it down, because the way a middle schooler, you know, is going to process information is so different. And what you need to stop and explain. Crystal Chang, who's the director of high school strategy here at Orange, her and I wrote a book together called The Art of Group Talk. And that one was specifically for teenage girls. And throughout it, you know, we talked about different phase information. So, like, we're talking about how to best have conversations with students. And then she would say something for high school, and I'm like, you can't do that with middle school. She's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, middle school would react this way. And she's like, no way they would. And I'm like, yeah. So we laughed through that whole book about, like, sometimes it was similar, and sometimes it was so vastly different, you know? And I think that once you dive into that, you understand, you know, the need for a middle school strategy and a middle school curriculum. I mean, if you don't, you really miss an opportunity to minister to middle school students where they are, because you'll always lean towards high schoolers so they don't leave, you know?
That's right. And the problem is your middle schoolers are becoming high schoolers.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
They remember the attention, and I think there's a reason why 8th grade wants to leave middle school so often and so many churches to become a 9th grader, and that's because we're not giving them enough attention to where they want to escape middle mm-hmm. school, because they know that when they get into high school, they're going to get more attention. They'll get more laser-focused strategies towards them. Mm-hmm. And so I it's not that I want them to never want to leave middle school, because I feel like you should always want to leave middle school. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we could always do better with our middle schoolers.
Yeah.
And there are so many student ministries across the nation who are doing recovery work ninth grade year because of what they forgot to develop in their sixth through eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think middle school strategy is so important for students.
Sam, I love that you're saying this. It makes my heart happy. You know, I think that there are a lot of curriculums out there that are biblically sound, a lot of curriculums that are theologically sound, but I don't know how many are developmentally sound. And I think that that's really, really important when it comes to a curriculum. I know for us, we always, you know, in the way a middle school student learns, we think interactives are a really important thing when teaching them. What I mean by that is while you're teaching, you maybe use a prop so they can anchor this this lesson or this thought to something concrete, or maybe it's an activity or a game or something with technology, whether it's a live poll, or usually it's like we use it in the tension section so that they understand what we're talking about. It's also sometimes used in the truth section. And then also when it comes to application, middle school students need help applying it, or high school students can apply it on their own and process what that looks like in their life. Middle school students need a lot of guidance in that. And so we always write into our curriculum, you know, an interactive for the teaching time, but then during the small group time, we write in something called an XP, which stands for experience piece, where they actually begin to apply what they just learned with the guidance of their small group leader, in the hopes of them continuing it, obviously, throughout the week in their life. Everything developmental is considered when... In every cue that we write, in every script that we write, every question that we write, you know, we sit and imagine, we laugh too. We sit and imagine for hours, like, how is this conversation with middle school students going to go? You know, we're like, well, I see my students saying this. And someone else is like, well, my students would say this. And we just, I mean, obviously are entertained by the conversations, but how can we best get them to talk about how this applies to their life? Not just recall information they heard from stage.
Right. Yeah, I think that's huge. And especially what I love about the XP3 scripts that you get for middle school and high school is they do give you those illustration ideas of here's what would really knock this out. And it even leaves it open for you to add your own context and illustrations if you want.
Yeah.
For instance, we did Playing with Fire the past couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
Great series about, you know, the power of your words, both good and bad. And for our high school, we used it more in the context of the school shootings that have just happened.
Mm.
Like, hey, this is why this is so important.
That's great.
You know, you can cause destruction or you can build up. You could be the person that stopped a school shooting with just your words. And for our high school, they're like, that is powerful.
Really?
You know, that is a crazy illustration. With middle school, you know, we talked about how there are people who are 70 years old because of something someone told them in seventh grade. And so for them, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm causing like so much damage to a future 70-year-old woman. And we used a plate because, you know, week one we talk about sorry doesn't fix what you just said.
Mm.
So I said, your words are kind of like this. And I yelled, oops, and threw the plate behind me. And it just smashed into pieces and scared every middle schooler in that room. They're like, did you see how sorry just fixed that plate? And they're like, no. I'm like... Exactly.
That's great. So that's a great like interactive, so, Sam.
Yeah. And so that spoke to our middle schoolers because mm-hmm. they're like, not only did he just smash a plate, but he like connected a dot in my brain of what words don't do.
I love it. Best practices. So, break plates in front of your middle
break
school.
Plates. Middle school will be happy. So
I love
anytime
that.
You break something, middle school will be happy. So
I think
that's what I've learned.
What's so great about that interactive that you did is, you know, in middle school, when they are going through puberty, they begin to start thinking abstractly. And mm-hmm. It's not like a light switch, like, oh my gosh, I'm in puberty
right.
now. It turned on.
We developed a six pack overnight.
Exactly. So. It's like a wimpy muscle that needs to be worked out in order to be helpful. And so our goal is to help them understand
like an abstract thought in a concrete way so that they start to understand abstract thinking. And with abstract thinking comes self-awareness, and it comes understanding third-person perspective, like how they're seen and how they can hurt somebody else. It's not just feeling bad for someone, but it's understanding their perspective on it, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
And I think that that is a really cool way to show them a concrete, you know, a concrete way to show them an abstract idea. It's really neat.
Yeah, making it manifest. And one thing that we noticed, too, though, was, so week two, it's all about using words for healing.
Yep.
And we tried the same illustration for both groups, not knowing how this would turn out.
Yeah.
So I set up a ring light, set up a backdrop so they could film themselves sending an encouraging message to their friend, either through Snapchat or Instagram or whatever they wanted to do, or they could text it. So middle school service was first. They get up there. Every single middle school girl gets the ring light on their face, and the first words every single one of them said is, "God, I'm so ugly." I'm like, oh my gosh, you're breaking my heart. And so, but they sent the message to their friends. They still said, like, hey, you're my best friend because of this. Thanks for being my friend. High school instantly jumped behind the ring light. I didn't even have to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They took lots of selfies, made new profile pics. And then at the last second, I had to remind them, hey, remember what you're doing this for? So it was funny how those pre-service illustration worked differently for different age groups. Like middle school got vulnerable behind a ring light and said, man, I'm really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And which kind of set up the tee for the message itself. Because I'm like, man, you are so hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's what I heard before service. And so
The lack of filter of in the protection filter in a middle school student is, it's a beautiful thing because you really, like, they'll let you in and don't realize they're letting you in, you know, where a high school student's so much more guarded in the way that they'll receive information or protect themselves differently because they've been hurt before, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Middle school students are just realizing there's something that's not beautiful about themselves. And they're understanding how other people might look at them. And so they're just experiencing, like, rejection in that way. I mean, obviously, there's kids who have experienced rejection much younger, unfortunately. You know, whether it's a family situation or friend situation or school. But, yeah, I think that that's really neat that you did that and noticed that, Sam.
It was a cool moment for me to really, like, jump into their life because for me, you know, a lot of student pastors or a lot of, I think this is a guy thing, when we hear a female student say I'm so ugly, a lot of people think they're fishing for compliments.
Yeah,
like they're just an attention. That's not a bad thing though, for a student to be attention hungry, because every person is attention hungry and they're just more vocal about it. And even if they are fishing for their compliment, even if they don't really believe that they're ugly, they're probably wanting that because they don't hear it enough.
That's so good. I mean, every compliment counts when it comes to middle school. Every compliment counts, and middle school students need affirmation about who they are, who they're becoming, the questions that they're asking. I mean, we need to normalize their experience and affirm their personal journey because they're all thinking those things whether they're verbalizing them or not, because they don't they're trying to figure out who they are. You know?
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing even as an adult, you know?
Yeah, I think that even when I jump on stage, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, like, do people really want to listen to me? Like, it's a scary thing, and the problem is it starts in middle school, and we need to be mindful that it's not a middle school problem, it's a human problem. It starts at middle school.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and so often, I remember, you know, as a middle school pastor, as a middle school teacher, how many parents would come to me and be like, what happened to my kid? Like, this is not how they used to be. Like, what is happening? And to be able to help parents understand, like, actually, this is really normal. Like, if your kid is always in a fight with their friends, oh, well, this is normal for sixth and seventh grade. This is just sixth and seventh grade. And the parents like, really? Oh my gosh, good. Because I've been so worried about my kid, you know? And so helping parents understand that developmental information helps them parent better, just like helping small group leaders understand the developmental information helps them lead conversations better. you know?
That's right. Yeah. I get that a lot from especially middle school parents whenever it's talking about behavior issues within the program or whatever it is, and they're like, I'm sorry, my kid just sucks. I'm like, actually, your kid's like every other kid.
Yep.
We don't keep a scoreboard and let you know what every other kid's score is, though.
Yeah.
So every middle school boy is just like your kid. It would be weird if your kid sat and paid attention for 15 minutes straight.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd have to talk and be like, your kid is a freak of nature.
Yeah.
So the fact that he stayed attentive for 5 minutes is a miracle for middle school guys. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I was just having a conversation with Dan Scott, who is the director of the kids curriculum here and the preteen curriculum, and he's been working on this book, a preteen book, which I'm really excited about. But we were having a conversation about how if you can get a kid while they're a preteen or a middle schooler, and get a parent involved while they're parenting a preteen or middle schooler, the chances of them staying involved as a parent through high school is much higher, you know?
Oh, wow.
And because if you can get them younger and you kind of take them through a strategy, because they're involved when they're in fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, and then it's like, oh my goodness, my kid's going to high school, you know? And so I think the strategy and the curriculum is just as important for the parents as it is for the students.
Yeah. I feel like if we have a strategy or we start thinking about strategizing at ninth grade, we're too late. So that's really key to remind parents, too. And I think that's why, you know, it's important to pass on some of that info that XP3 provides, because you do a parent cue email and stuff like that that allows us to partner with parents even further of, hey, we're talking about this, and this is what it looks like in a parenting context.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how we can partner with you as the church, and here's how we can strategize with you and your middle schooler as well. So I think that's really important that we bring parents into a middle school strategy when we think of curriculum as well, of how is this going to partner with them at home in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Yeah. So we've talked about the why. I think we've covered it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how developmentally is the main point behind creating a middle school strategy. It's not a reading comprehension. It's not like they graduated into middle school curriculum and now they get high school curriculum. It's developmentally, we need to be there, meet them where they are. Let's talk through different scenarios, though. Let's say you do have a combo group. What would you recommend for the student worker or youth volunteer that is, they've got maybe 10 kids and it's 6th to 12th grade?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. I mean, we would recommend, I mean, I would first ask how many of the 10 are high school students and how many of the 10 mm-hmm. are middle school students, because I think that would also help determine my answer in a group that small.
Right.
And so, you know, obviously if it's mostly made of middle school students, I would suggest using the middle school curriculum for a group of 10. And then for high school, if it's leaning more towards high school, I'd say use the high school curriculum, but the first chance you can to split them, you know, middle school and high school, at least for the small group discussion. Because, you know, if let's say there's 10 students and they all hear the high school lesson, okay? The conversation for a middle school student is going to have to go back through what was said and break it down, not mm-hmm. water it down, but break it down so that they can understand in a concrete way what the tension was, what the truth was, and how this applies. Where a high school student is going to be able to jump right into a conversation of how
right.
that applies. And so, I mean, I think this is what's hard, is there's no cookie cutter answer, because every context is so different and unique. So,
yeah, and I think another piece to that is how many volunteers do you have?
Exactly.
Do you have more middle school volunteers? Do you have more high school volunteers?
Yeah.
You know, group of 10, you may have one or two extra youth workers. So,
well, I mean, our curriculum is called XP3, and you know, the middle and high school curriculums, well, all the curriculums are made to work together, but specifically
right.
we know that youth ministry, a lot of people have a combined group, or they might have a separate group, but it's the same youth pastor who's overseeing both age groups, like you know.
Yeah.
So I think that we know that as a company, and so we've made it really, like, we bundle the curriculums together. So when you buy one, the other one, like, if you buy high school, you get the middle school curriculum for, like, ridiculously cheap.
because we right. know that like you're this is what's best for the churches. So
yeah.
we want you to work use them together because you will meet your volunteers where they need to be and equip them however they need to be equipped before that conversation about sexuality with middle school students and sexuality with high school students, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so
yeah, and y'all handled that really well, by the way. So
wow.
February middle school did a series called Great Expectations. High school was More Than Friends, and the conversations were different in the same vein, but different. So it was, you know, the ability to give parents a preview into that too of we're talking about sex,
yep,
but not really, but we are talking about sex.
Yeah.
And so them getting to see the videos of what we were going to do, they're like, okay, this is really good. So
mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. we're even like right now we're in the process of working on fall curriculum. And we're writing in this next year scope, like some standalone messages. And they're on like culture specific topics like race
oh, wow.
and self-harm
yeah.
and suicide and bullying, like really, really hot topics. And, you know, talking about them with a middle school student is so vastly different than talking about it with a high school
yeah.
student. Like even when we were looking at the self-harm scripts, it's like, when you're talking to a middle school student about self-harm, you're not assuming that they're self-harming because they can't handle that heaviness. So you're
right.
you are talking about it as if their friend might be feeling this way. Where
right.
with high school students, you're talking directly to them about like if you're having these thoughts kind of thing, you know, from the front stage. So it these standalone messages have developed very differently, which is really cool to see. So
yeah. That's incredible. Like that's going to be amazing for the next year's scope and sequence,
mm-hmm.
especially for this year. I think that's been a hot topic for a lot of student workers of how do I talk to my group about racial reconciliation? How
yeah.
do I talk to them about self-harm? And
yeah.
and even the recent school shootings of, you know, how do we process that as a group?
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen lots of youth workers all over Facebook just asking these questions of I have no idea how to start this conversation.
Yeah.
So we talked about, you know, here's the why in case you're a combo group. We've talked about splitting and all that, you know, the strategy behind splitting a high school and middle school context. And Ashley, do you have any resources available, you know, just in case people are willing to dive into this deeper and try to explore what this looks like in their context?
Yeah.
Or how can they trial this even just to see if it would work?
You know, we actually have some resources available for anyone who wants to dive into this more. If you go to middleschoolphase.org, we have an ebook on there that it's basically a collection of essays from people who have been doing middle school ministry for 10 plus years. Some of them have been doing it for 25 plus years. And it's basically about why middle school ministry matters. And we wrote that ebook to encourage people who are working with middle school students, but also help people understand why it matters so much in the phase.
Mm-hmm.
We also, if you go to middleschoolphase.org, you can get a free series that's middle school specific. So you can see the developmental information we're talking about that's just throughout the entire curriculum. We also have some phase specific small group leader training videos available for free on that site. And what I mean by that is, they're like 4 or 5 minute videos that you would show, and those videos are separated by grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade. So it's like, this year, you are leading a group of 7th graders, and this is what you can expect
oh,
with
wow.
7th grade. So it's not just the difference between middle and high school, it's the difference between 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade. It breaks it down. And I think
that's
it's really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so look for that in the show notes. We're going to put some links to that just to make sure that you can continue that and you know, really add that to your leadership team as well. Like, that's an incredible resource to train your small group leaders and get them ready for the new year. All right, so we have resources available. You can look for that in the show notes. And Ashley, where can we reach you in case people want to just talk to you?
Yeah, I would love if anyone wants to reach out and talk about middle school students. I love talking about them if you didn't notice. So you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my first and last name, which I'm guessing you are seeing in this episode, Ashley Bohens. Same with Instagram, although I think it's Ashley Marie Bohens because apparently there's more than one Ashley Bohens in this world, which who knew? And you can also, if you want, email me, abohens@rethinkgroup.org. You can also email our orange specialists,
Brett Talley or Charlie Condor, and they are, you know, they've been in middle school, high school ministry for years, 10 plus years. And so they're also well-versed in speaking about the differences, or they'll also help figure out what might work best in your context, because they talk, Brett and Charlie talk to people all the time about how to implement like separated middle and high school, and they can give you probably 10 ideas of what churches around the world are doing, you know, for your specific context. And you can reach Brett at btalley, B-T-A-L-L-E-Y, at rethinkgroup.org, or cconder at rethinkgroup.org. You can put those in the show notes too.
That's right. Look for that in the show notes if you want to reach out to an Orange specialist as well. In fact, I've had many conversations with Orange specialists. They are incredible, Brett Talley and Charlie Condor. They just do a fantastic job. And like she already mentioned, they will give you some ideas of, hey, here's a group that's similar to you. Here's what they did. Didn't work, and here's why. Mm-hmm. And so they can even do a postmortem or tell you what went really well with other youth groups. So it's really good having that type of partnership with Orange and trying to create that strategy that's fine-tuned to your context. So Well, thank you so much for coming on, Ashley. I think we have started some conversations that will hopefully snowball into something that's going to impact student ministries all across the world. And thanks for coming on.
Sam, thank you so much for having me and for valuing middle school so much. I really appreciate you.
Well, everyone, until next time, thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.